All right, we're live. Keith Knapp, welcome to Kettlebells and Cocktails. How are
I'm awesome, John. How are you?
you? I don't have an intro when Nikki's not here, so I don't know what to say. I'm not going to call you my bestie because I got made fun of for that. So here we are. But I barely even talked to her. She's off having her baby or had her baby, and he's doing great, but she's busy. You got little kids. You know what that's like. You totally know what
Yes,
that's like.
I do. We just got done putting everybody to bed. I think for the most part, we got everybody to bed.
Yeah, it's funny when I messaged Dale and I because I'd messaged him earlier in the day, I was like, "Hey, do you want to come on?" He's like, "Sure, what time?" I'm like, 9:30. He's like, "Is this the midnight special? What are you guys doing?" I'm like,
I
"Bro,
know.
I'm like, it's by Keith. He's got little kids, man. He's got to get those kids in bed." And
Yep.
it's like 30 minutes past my bedtime at this point, and probably an hour past Dale's.
Yep. And
So.
our kids go to bed so late. Like it's just been a weird, I don't know why our kids have always been like late. I mean, I know why. Our kids never went to daycare or anything. My mother-in-law has kind of always been the in-home care for them during the day. And so until before they went to school, it was just like they could sleep in however long they wanted. So gosh, I mean, 9:30 is like way early for when we used to put them to bed.
Bet. How do they
Yep.
like the adventure of the new gym?
Oh my gosh, dude, they love it. They absolutely love it. They were there tonight. My wife and I both took the 6 p.m. class tonight. I coached or helped coach the our kid evening kids class. Came home, got them, and we're like, who wants to go back to the gym and who wants to stay here? They're all like, we all want to go to the gym. So, they get all jazzed about it. They were there. It was funny. I was talking about this with J Jason 2 days ago, maybe on the podcast I was on with him. Like it's funny because like the hardest part of having them in the gym is like keeping them out of the gym because they just want to play on everything.
I
They're like,
bet.
give me in the get put me on the rings and it's wild, they love it.
Man,
What's up, Dale?
this podcast just got infinitely older and grayer, like immediately.
Is anyone aware what time it is?
And I was just making fun of you for that. It's like 30 minutes past my bedtime and an hour past your bedtime.
I was like, geez, I had to turn Matlock off early, turn Nick and Knight off. Come on,
I
this
love
needs to be.
Matlock. It's good.
Matlock. Is Matlock still on syndication or something? Is that a real
It's
thing?
not. It's a crime.
It absolutely should be. Thanks for joining, man. I know it's way past your bedtime. They've probably already rolled up the streets down in Portsmouth.
Screwing up my nighttime skincare routine. I have a very, very
Skincare.
regimented process that keeps me looking so young, but I was wanting to
Yeah.
forgo it just for you two.
It's
I love it.
going. Have you always worn those glasses?
Nope.
No.
Just either when I'm lazy and or trying to be smart. So,
Okay.
Both.
yeah. I was gonna say, which is it tonight? Which one are you trying to be tonight? One or the other.
We'll let the audience judge here in a minute.
Love it.
I love it. Well, I'm glad you guys joined. I are both are joining tonight. I want to talk about some affiliate stuff. It's nice having a couple of affiliate owners on and chat about what's going on in the state of the world. It feels like all the games drama is always fun this time of year. Like I just always get amused when it starts happening. People just lose their minds. And this year's been no exception. So that'll be fun to get you guys to chat about it.
Yeah, it's been intense the past couple days. I mean, today was a really intense day.
Yeah, what's your take on it, Keith?
I mean, I've got a couple of, I mean, on one hand, I think I made a comment on Savant show this morning that like there seems to be like a mechanics consistency intensity miss somewhere in like the judging scenarios because I think for the longest time it was like they had not a whole lot of clarity on what the mechanics and they were certainly not holding them like accountable, holding athletes accountable consistently. And they weren't doing it with a whole lot of intensity. And this year it seems like there's a ton of intensity, but because they haven't established like what the mechanics are for holding people accountable and they haven't been doing it consistently, it just comes a little bit out, feels like it's coming a little bit out of left field. But on the other hand, it's like in any sport, if you're a prof in any professional sport, it doesn't matter what professional sport it is, judges make calls, they get overturned by replay. Sometimes way after people celebrated and got really excited about what happened. And it changes the game. Sometimes changes championships, sometimes changes lives. And that's just kind of what you put your, you know, you toe the line as a professional athlete, and you kind of have to roll with the reality that that could potentially happen. And that's at the end of the day, what makes it exciting, right? If there was no chance that people could win or lose, then it wouldn't be a fun game.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Dale, what about you? Have you been following along at all?
I got to be completely honest. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, I love this. Me either, barely. Keith's going to be a resident expert on this. I got to be honest. I've like kind of quit following all CrossFit media, not like one specific, just like all of it. I barely pay attention to myself. And I've kind of only caught up on this game stuff because people post stuff in Instagram. So I see it, you know, and so then I have to go look. And because I'm pretty friendly with Hiller, I like to watch his videos because I feel like he always is pretty concise and he's got some funny moments in there. It makes me laugh, you know. So I went and watched some of his stuff. And it appears, Dale, I'll give you the quick rundown, that one of these events had a dumbbell weighted step up, two dumbbells, and you got to step up. Yeah. And the rule was your hips and your hips had to be under your shoulders and your head had to be aligned somehow. You couldn't be looking down. That was kind of the point. And man, they're just doling out penalties right and left. And it's apparently impacted some pretty big athletes. And it's like kind of like a weird rule. Like they've never had it before. It was in the rules, but it wasn't like they didn't point out like, hey, this is new, you know. And granted, it's on the athletes to read the rules, but again, it's like a photograph, like a still photograph you got to look at. And so I can see everyone's point that the first year in, you got to follow this rule. And even the professional judges are missing it. And Hiller himself like missed it. And it's, man, it's got a lot of people up in arms.
So is it some bigger names out?
Yeah, a couple of real big ones. Sydney Wells, yeah. Paige Powers, a few others that I wasn't as familiar with. But I gotta be honest, because I haven't been following along, my stress and anxiety level is really low. So I'm just like kind of from the outside looking in, not laughing at those that aren't getting in, but just like as an observer of other people losing their shit. It's a lot more fun that way. So
yep. It's funny because Halpin is a coach at the gym, right? Known and knowable. He's one of my coaches. So I see him.
Oh,
every day.
That's right. Yeah.
He's in my men's group. So I talk to him all the time. And he's like, obviously keeping like he always does. Like he's got this crazy spreadsheet that anybody can access that he has like a full list, a running list of like everybody who's had a score adjustment, how many reps they've been adjusted by, and all the different like red lines of like these people have now fallen out of essentially moving forward to the next round. And it's, I mean, there's hundreds of lines, right? It's like there's, I think, I want to say Morning Chalk Up this morning reported that like 265 athletes have been affected, like top athletes have been affected. And so it's like a very significant number of athletes that like could very well not end up going to semifinals because of the way that they were judged or are being judged in the replays. So it's wild. It's wild.
It gave me an interesting thought today. This was actually one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, like, because I have not been watching it. I could honestly care less. Again, sympathies for the athletes, but like, I'm going to go watch the games. I don't care who's there. Literally don't care who's there. And so I've been, if for me, putting myself in the kind of in the mental state or the place of the members of my affiliate, because I think most of the members of my affiliate feel that way. And so I'm kind of becoming predispositioned to believe that most CrossFitters across the planet feel this way. And that the only people that are outraged are those that really follow the games closely, which is a relatively small sum of us. So my question or my thought was, does it even matter if the games are a mess or not? Like if the games survives or fails, as affiliate owners, do you guys care at all?
I mean, I've made my statement. I'm not a games. I like going to the games. I think it's cool, but no one. Now, granted, I'm coming from an N of one kind of thing in small town, Southern Ohio. Some people think I invented CrossFit in Portsmouth. It's just like they have no concept of this exists outside of
right. Power. Yeah.
So to me, it's super cool as like a demonstration of the methodology, what mm-hmm. ultimate level. But me personally, those in my gym couldn't even tell you who won last year, let alone any team, or, you know, maybe it's just the other thing is like, cause we're old. Like we were all, you know, we were froning junkies back then, and that was cool to us. And then he kind of transitioned on. And I think, you know, I think it'd be really interesting as I'm just fucking babbling off, but it's like, let's overlay a age demographic on people who prioritize or really care about the games. And I'd venture to say that skews 30 and under. Just my bullshit analysis.
I'd give you that. Heath, what about you? Excluding known and knowable, excluding Halpin, we know he's obsessed. What about everybody else? Would it matter to your affiliate at all if it went away?
No. I mean, and I think that's, I think they think the Open was like the equivalent of a fun 5K. They saw that I qualified for quarterfinals and one of my other coaches qualified for quarterfinals. They got to do the quarterfinals workouts, which was kind of cool this year, how they programmed those into CAP. So they got to do the workouts. They got to participate in that way. But aside from them seeing that happen, like they have no idea what the game, I mean, I'm also in a very, very young affiliate, right? We're two months old. So 95% of my members have never even done CrossFit before. So they don't even know what this thing is yet.
Right.
They're like, CrossFit games? I mean, we had people that joined our gym the night of the first Open workout. So like they have no clue that the Open is even a different thing than regular workout. They just thought that's what Friday nights were like. Like that's just what Friday nights were like for the first, you know. And we try to, in some ways, we try to keep them a little bit like that. But yeah, I mean, it would have no bearing at all on whether people kept coming to the gym or not. That being said, like, I think it is fun to be able to point to, look at what the peak looks like. It's because it's also fun to be able to like humble your, like, I don't know, like Dale, you just deadlifted 500 pounds. Not a lot of people do that, right? And so people in your gym are like, people in your gym go, oh, damn, that's what could happen if like I keep doing this. But you also get to be like, oh, no. Like take a peek over here. What it could really look like. Like I can, you know, it's an opportunity for you to keep pointing somewhere else. Like there's always something better. And I think that's what the game represents is like, it's, you know, I've made a couple of videos in the past couple of weeks now where of like riffs on how Greg used to say, like, show up to the gym, write down on a piece of paper the things you want, the things that you would say would make you better. Right? It doesn't even matter what it is. You want to be a better dad, you want to be a better lawyer, whatever happens to be. You want to get your triglycerides up or down or whatever happens to be. Write it down on a piece of paper. 6 months later, come back. What can happen? You'll be better. The games are an opportunity for us to point to something that actually is objectively better, which I think is cool.
And I don't mean to like, I don't mean to shit on the competitive side. I think a couple things that they did well, just to kind of like illustrate the difference between, you know, normal and elite. You know, they invited one of my guys down to the Open announcement, Proven. And I'll tell you what, like that was awesome. And it was, you know, obviously it was awesome because he was one of my guys and to see him out there on the floor. Mm-hmm. This was the first time they let the community go first.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody tuning in had a bigger viewership to watch those guys. Mm-hmm. And they were good. It wasn't like they were duds out there. Like my guy, Ricky, is like a pretty good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But to
see he crushed that workout too.
Yeah. And he got time capped, right? And everybody's like, oh man, like if Ricky got time capped and then the studs go right after him just to show, well, they did that in 8 or 9 minutes. Like, I think there's value in demonstrating the true, like what the ultimate manifestation of the methodology can be. Mm-hmm. Zero impact on affiliates. Zero. Yeah. I mean, maybe not zero. Like some people will get members from them, but I think it's just cooler on a local competitive throwdown side than the games piece.
Yeah. Keith, you're a marketing guy. If they could actually get this right, and that's a big if, I'm just going to throw that out there, but if they could actually get this right eventually, how big an impact could it have on the marketing of CrossFit, like the growth of the brand itself?
Well, I mean, I think it already, like, the cool thing about the games is that it doesn't even require CrossFit to do it well. Right. Because think about today. There were probably, let's say over the course of the entire day, probably tens of thousands of people that in some way interacted with a message about the games and what was going on with the games through a bunch of different channels. Right. Savon was live for, I don't know, 7 hours today. It was ridiculous how long they talked about this. Hiller posted a bunch of video yesterday. Halpin's been running all his stuff all week. It's like any other professional sport. We have like our own tiny little network. It's a small network now, but like, I think there's an opportunity for us to continue to grow what that network looks like, where like the NBA has a network and the NFL has a network and there's live coverage all the time. Always people talking heads, always talking about it. Any message is always a message for somebody. Like there's always an opportunity for that message to help somebody find their way into an affiliate. And I think that's what where we still have an opportunity is for HQ to find a way to interact with and support whatever the developing network actually happens to be. I had plenty of conversations when I was still at HQ with Savon and Hiller, and they were just like, just tell us what to do. Like, we don't even, like, in a lot of ways, like, leverage us. I think that's one of the things that's still kind of missing is, like, I mean, they're doing it with you now, John, right? With the semifinals are like partnering with you to help promote ticket sales at the semifinals level. Like, HQ could be doing that. Like, why doesn't HQ do more of that stuff?
Well, to be fair, that's right? Not CrossFit. That's the semifinals.
I know it's not. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not them at all. As a matter of fact, that was born out of, you know, I probably had the same frustration that Savon and Hiller had. Like, I messaged someone on the games team and I'm like, hey, how are ticket sales? I was just curious, you know, and they messaged back, not good. And they're like, but we're not promoting it. That was the second thing they told me. Why don't you reach out to the event promoters? Well, I know both of those guys pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wilson, who does Syndicate Crown, I've known him for years since that thing was out in DC. And then Dylan, who runs Waza and, you know, the Loud and Live stuff. And so I just messaged Wilson.
Just awesome, like, guys, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, amazing dudes, both of them. And I'm like, hey, how can I help? And I think Wilson thought I just wanted free tickets. I'm like, listen, dude, I'm going to buy tickets. I refuse to let you even give me a press pass because no one's buying your tickets. I'm going to buy one. Like, I don't want you to fail, but how can I help? And so I pitched this idea. I'm like, well, won't you just let me, you know, just give me free reign to say and do whatever I want. And I promise to not embarrass you too bad. And I'm going to make fun of Castro a bunch. And they go, that's a great idea. Go for it. And that was how it was born out of. And for the record, they came up with the slogan King of Memes. That was not me. I actually kind of pushed back on it, but they're like, no, it's funny. I'm like, okay, it's not that funny, but I'm going to do it. And then I was actually kind of like grossed out at how well I photoshopped my face on Kevin James or whatever his name is. And I didn't like how it looked. It just made me feel bad about myself, you know?
It's like CrossFit John.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't like this. And then I had to go to work out, you know, like I got to go to the gym, feeling really bad about myself.
That's awesome.
But to that point, like that was born out of frustration because CrossFit's not promoting it. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like, are they trying to fail? Like, do we as a community, do we have to like lock arms and make this thing succeed because they're hell bent that it's not going to? I don't know. I mean, it was just my feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that they turned ownership back over to the individual events. They took, you know, they took a swing. We took a swing last year at running it owned and operated for a few of them. And this year they kind of turned it back over. hopefully those events succeed, because I think we need those events. Like, we need more opportunities for the community to get together and see competition happen. Cause it's like, it's entertainment, fun. Like, that was kind of the point you made, Dale. Is like, I don't really care who goes. Like, I like going to the games because it's fun. I get to see my friends.
Yeah. Yeah. The family reunion vibe that you get when you're at the games is unparalleled.
Yeah. We get that's the few times I get to see Dale is at these events. Truthfully, like, I always feel like that's where I run into you. I never run into you in places we could actually sit down and talk. It's just like always in passing in a hallway in some coliseum somewhere, you know, as we're both headed to the beer tent. That's how it works. That's why we always find each other. I'm like, where's Dale? Just go to the beer tent. He'll be there.
Wherever the happy hour is.
Yeah. No, it's wild. I hope they're successful. I'm excited about Knoxville. I can't get out to California for Carson, and I'm regretting that I can't because I've never been to Carson. So I've kind of missed that part. We shall see. Keith, you and I you did a reel. And then I cribbed it and wrote an article for Morning Chalk Up talking about forging elite fitness. This got stuck in my head a few weeks ago. And you did it and I did it. I thought we'd talk about it because. And the topic is, you know, why is CrossFit afraid of using the slogan forging elite fitness? It got stuck in my head a few weeks ago and I started doing research and like going through all the marketing stuff, like all the websites. Then I started looking at affiliates, like all over the place. It's damn near disappeared at this point. And I was brought up under it. And I guess I was looking for both your guys' insight, but Keith, I'll start with you since you did the reel on it and have been part of that marketing team. Why do you think they're stepping away from that so hard?
I mean, I think there's this, like, I think the term elite just creates a lot of tension for people. And I think there's a couple different metrics, right? There is a very well known issue is probably a strong word, but I'm going to use it for the sake of the argument, that CrossFit's expensive. Like, it's reserved in a lot of ways for the elite end of the income, you know, income tiers, right? If something costs somewhere between $150 and $400 a month, depending on what market you're in, it's expensive. And so it makes it feel exclusive. I think Mitchapalooza down here just mentioned elite signifies exclusivity. And I think that's right. That's like on the income side and on the, like, this is a club reserved for a different portion of the population. That's one end of it. And it could potentially come across as like unwelcoming, right? That term in and of itself could potentially come across as unwelcoming. On the other end of the spectrum, there's like the elite performer. So like, you have to be elite in order for CrossFit to be for you. And so those are like the two things that I think, the two misperceptions. I mean, shit, there's a pile, you know, mountains tall of the misperceptions around CrossFit. And those are two of them very specifically related to the idea of forging elite fitness. But like, what forging elite fitness always meant to me was like, well, shit, I have an opportunity to be elite. Why wouldn't I take that opportunity?
Right.
And that's where I think there's just been like, there's been a hesitancy to jump into that kind of a message. Is like the way that I put it in my reel is like, elite, just like intensity or just like capacity, is all relative, right? Intensity is you move to the intensity based on what your capacities are psychologically and physiologically. Elite is the exact same way. Like, a grandma is not going to be elite in the same way that Tia Claire Toomey is elite, but a grandma that can run 400 meters and pick up her granddaughter and like do all the things that somebody that's 20 years younger than her probably still can't do, that's an elite grandma. Like, I want to be an elite grandpa. And so that's what elite always meant to me, is like, I have an opportunity to chase a better version of myself, and that's what elite is. And I just feel like they've moved away from it because they're scared of those two misperceptions. And I think it's created this like weird tension in the community where like a lot of people still want to lean into that, but they don't feel like they have the permission to do it anymore.
Right. What about you, Dale?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on my website right now.
Furiously in the banner now that I've said that. Is that what you're doing? Typing it in.
Yeah. And real big bold letters, join the resistance against weakness. Portsmouth, Ohio's home for forging elite fitness, friendship, and fun.
So, hell yeah.
I pretty much know where I stand on it. I see. That's very interesting. I've never heard the argument about the elite price thing. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's never crossed my mind at all with that. I am sure they fucking spent a lot of money doing surveys and A and B testing. But, you know, are we going to bring people up to a standard or bring the standard down to the people to meet them where they're at? There's nothing wrong with hard. No, Troy, I'm not wearing pants. That's why this angle's so high.
Thank God. Keep the angle high, Dale.
But there's a reason. It's an aspirational brand. Now, we can do a better job of messaging that we're not going to change who we are, but you can get on our level. And our job mm-hmm. as a trainer, a coach, an owner, to, you know, mediocre and turn them into madmen. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. But if you stop like carrying and waving the black flag, what are we really doing?
Mm-hmm.
And who are we messaging to? And who's going to carry that message along? Who's going to carry that banner?
I actually asked Jay DeKoons about this when he was on the show back in early April. And I'll have to go back and re-listen to the clip, to be honest, get the full answer. But the general sense was just trying to reach a broader audience. That was the answer I got. Which I think it probably indicates what you're both saying. They're a little scared of the message. For me, it was like, you know, I came up under that message much like you guys. And I was never worried about the word elite because I never truly believed I was going to be elite. You know, for me, it was word forging.
Mm-hmm.
It was aspirational. Like I'm trying to get mm-hmm. there. Whether I ever got there or not was almost irrelevant. I was just trying to beat myself. Like,
right.
You know, can I make myself better? And that forging piece, like I'm building this because I was smart enough at the time, even with all the dumb shit I was doing, to still know it was going to take years, not weeks.
Yeah.
I was just building on something. And I think that's why I was never intimidated by it, you know, mm-hmm. and it did give that feeling of I'm doing something really difficult, and it gave me pride. It made me want to come back. Regardless of like how bad the workouts were and how much I was getting, like in those days, I was getting beat by everybody. Like I literally dead last in every workout and it was crushing my soul, but I knew I was getting better
mm-hmm.
and I was proud of that. And for me, that's what the thing was like, we've got a community where we've got all the shared suffering and we're all doing hard things and we're all complaining about the same shit. And I'm part of that. And that's why I was never scared of it. And so then, you know, now I see the slogans of, I don't know, fitness that sticks. You know, I hope you didn't design that one, Keith. I don't know who designed. Okay, good. if I pick one that was your baby, don't yell at me. But I'm like, and I'm not saying that's a terrible slogan. Like, you know, I want CrossFit to stick for people.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I can be proud of it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Keith. Sorry.
To me, I was going to say like fitness that stick doesn't feel like super aspirational. It's like, it feels like it's stuck to me. Like it feels like it's a weight that I don't want to have to carry. Whereas like fortunately fitness is like a thing that I want to chase that. Like, right. I feel like it's an invitation versus a burden. Like fitness to six feels like a burden, like something's stuck to me. Like, I don't really like I don't like it. But fortunately fitness is like, and again, like we all came up in the same kind of era, like when that was the drum that we were all banging. And like the thing that I always get a kick out of in terms of like trying to create a more broad and inclusive message is Don has made it abundantly clear that his goal is to get to 30 million people. Like, and this is a big argument that I had when I was there. And it's an argument that I still have with kind of the shift in messaging is like, suggesting that we have to get to 30 million people and acting like that's a big number is a big problem. Like 30 million people is not big. Like that's like in the context of a big global brand, 30 million people is like a drop in the bucket. It's crazy small. And to suggest that there's only 3 million people today doing CrossFit, maybe only 3 million people actually walking into an affiliate once a week, but there's way more than 3 million people doing CrossFit. Way more than 3 million people doing CrossFit. And the fact that they haven't been able to pin down what that actual number is and define what a CrossFitter is probably the bigger problem. And that they're trying to branch out to just be about like this, the easiest message to, for everybody to accept. You can never be all things to all people. And the minute you try to be all things to all people, you are nothing to anyone. And that's the risk that I feel like they're running by trying to move away from a really pointed message. Because even at the very tip of the spear, like there's a lot of people that still sit in that bucket. There's a ton of people that still sit in that bucket.
It reminds me of a story. One of my members years ago, you know, he started drinking the Kool-Aid after he came in. And he went on a business trip and he came back home. He had to deliver some big pitch meeting, you know, to a board or something. And he was like, man, ever since I started coming here, those pitch meetings, I'm not nervous when I go into that room anymore. And I was like, why is that, dude? He goes, because I know I was the only motherfucker in that room who got up and did a CrossFit workout that morning.
Yep.
And it gave me a sense of capability and a sense of self-confidence that when I walked into that room, I could deliver that message.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh shit, dude, that's exactly what it is. And to try to water that down does a disservice to what really happens to the people inside the gym.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see where they go with it. You know, I mean, obviously, the whole media thing, marketing, whatever, is like a hot mess over there right now. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know if it's a mess. It's just, I don't think anyone understands it, or we don't understand it, you know, where they're going, what they're doing. And so I'll be interested to see what they choose, what message they want to go with to your point, Keith, to get to 30 million, which, you know, again, I'll circle back to the Jay conversation I had. His math was historically bad on how they're going to get to 30 million. And I say that with love because I loved him. Like, he was super nice guy and really smart. But, you know, the math of how they're going to get to 30 million doesn't work. Or at least the way they're explaining it.
It's also the way they define what is successful, like what a CrossFitter is. Like, the only definition they can currently wrap their head around is somebody who goes into a CrossFit gym. And that's great. Like, we need more people in CrossFit gyms. Like, there's like,
yeah, of course.
I don't think anybody's arguing about that, but to get 30 million people inside of 13,000 CrossFit gyms, it just doesn't, like, we don't have, like, there's not space for that.
Yeah. 2,500 members per gym. I'd love to see 2,500 members fit down in Dale's gym. That'd be awesome.
No,
I don't want that many people in my gym.
My goal in life is one day to be like no longer accepting members. That's it.
Right.
Whatever that number is for me, that's it. Other gyms down the street.
Do you know what that number is, Dale?
I would, man, you know, that depends on the week. You know, I really wouldn't want it for me in my space, class flow and, you know, not adding existing classes. We'd be like, one is where I, like, this is enough. Like, I don't.
Yep.
Just because, like, I've bounced around between that before a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not fun. This is not fun. Like, I'm at the point in my life where, like, I wanted to be the gym mayor. I go in there every now and then, lift something heavy for a 43-year-old and make fun of everyone, have them make fun of me and
break the bell.
Break the bell and shoot the shit and have fun and watch my kids work out and watch them, you know, all that stuff.
Yep.
You just want to send a text message to your coaches, say, load the bar to 500. I'm putting on my Hoochie Daddy shorts and I'm coming in. So you tell them.
Stone cold of Coors Light, you know it. And
yep.
But, you know, like, I'm really, like, I'm going on another tangent here, but I'm really concerned that, like, we're getting pushed towards, like, the mega boxes, like these 200-300 kind of memberships and or like multi locations. Mm-hmm. And really kind of pushing the small guys out. You know, the quote unquote hobbyist gyms, and John, we talked about this before, but if this is what they want to display is like what, you know, what a good CrossFit gym is, and there's going to be a lot of communities who will no longer find that anymore.
Well, I think the hobbyist gym that you're describing, and I got a lot of love for them, by the way. Yeah, they'll just unaffiliate and they'll get 20 of their buddies. And one of them will have a level one and they'll have a really big garage somewhere and they'll just get together and do workouts and they'll follow the main site or Hard Work Pays Off or Proven or whatever, or they'll write it themselves. Like,
yeah.
You know,
and going back to Keith's earlier point is like, are those guys CrossFitters? I guess the question is, each one of those 30 million or 3 million, ask them how they can do. That to me, that's the real question.
Like, it is, and this is like, that's, man, Dale, that's like spot on, because that's where I came from, right? Like I spent the first 10 years of my CrossFit journey in a garage by myself for the most part. Every once in a while, I'd have a friend come by and do a workout. We did main site all the time, and I didn't consider myself a CrossFitter. I had fully taken the Kool-Aid, understood the L1 manual and then backward and forward. But I didn't consider myself a CrossFitter because I didn't feel like CrossFit wanted me to be recognized as a CrossFitter. Hmm. And that's where I feel like the big miss is, because I understood the methodology, followed the workouts, engaged in conversation about it all the time, encouraged other people to go to CrossFit gyms if they didn't want to do it themselves. But I didn't feel like I could call myself a CrossFitter because I didn't feel like CrossFit wanted me to. And that's where I think there's a big miss, because if CrossFit decided that they wanted those people to be considered CrossFitters, and right now they're pretty clearly messaging that they don't. Like, they're pretty open about the fact that the number they care about is the number of people that go into gyms. And that's fine. Like, I own a gym. I want more people to come into the gym, right? But at the same time, if they don't want to come into the gym, like, I still want them to do CrossFit, because I feel like if they do CrossFit, they're going to end up being better people, and more better people is better for all of us, whether they're inside a gym or not.
Sure.
I have mixed feelings about it. I want to consider them CrossFitters because I want people to be part of our community. I don't want CrossFit to be able to take credit for them and use them toward their stock price if they're not going to encourage them to actually, to Dale's point, have their own garage affiliate.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess I'm just coming at the point, would that individual be proud to call themselves a CrossFitter? That's what I'm saying. If like guys are de-affiliating due to the cost or due to the direction of HQ, that's the issue. And if we're not forging Elite Fitness, and if we're the herpes of fitness,
that's a terrible slogan. We're not using that. It's terrible.
It sticks. Like, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, that's fitness. It sticks.
Exactly. If they're no longer proud of the brand, then they're just a functional fitnesser. And so that's what I'm saying. If we keep watering down the message, if we keep, just like you're saying, trying to talk to everybody and talking to no one in the same aspect, HQ's job is to create a company and a movement that you are proud to be a part of, hands down. And that is something that, to me, has been sorely lacking.
Well, Dale, it's so interesting you just used the term movement. I posted a story tonight about Tyson. And a point that I made, and this is like, it's a little bit of a tangent where I got here, but I made the comment that when I first joined HQ, I was like the new marketing guy. So a lot of people were like a little standoffish. They were like, I don't know. And the point that I made was they have every right to be standoffish when new marketing people show up, because the people that are there, or at least the people that were still there when I was there, they had built something that would, that transcended brand or company. And they had done that like scratching and clawing their way. Like every single one of the people that were part of that media team from 2005 to 2018 did something that every marketer that has ever existed would have loved to have been a part of. Like they did, I mean, they built a global brand from literally nothing. And it, and the term brand isn't right, even right. It's a movement, it's a culture, it's a community. And like the fact that we're trying to call it a brand or we're trying to call it a company more, I think is a little bit risky, because your point is like, are people going to be proud to be a part of that? It's like, I worked for a lot of really big companies prior to coming into CrossFit, and I never once, when I worked for those companies, wore that brand. Mm. I never, like, I worked for Procter & Gamble. It was one of the biggest consumer packaged goods companies in the world. $80 billion company, serves 3 billion people on the planet with products every single day. Never once wore a P&G logo anywhere. Because it wasn't like, feels weird. Like, who gives a shit? I wear a CrossFit logo on my clothes every single day of my life. Every single day. And I'm proud as hell to do it. Like, if somebody said, you want to get CrossFit tattooed on your ass, I'd do it. Like, somebody get a gun, come over, and we'll tattoo it right away. Like, I have no issue with that. But, like, yeah,
put one of the O's in the middle. Just one of them, right, right in the middle.
Just right in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, I have to ask. Hey, Joe, But, like, at what point is that not going to end up being true? Like, at what point do we move away from movement into, like, this is just a brand and people don't really want to, like, they don't want to connect themselves to it in that same way? That's where I think we have, that's the risk that we run.
They shouldn't be afraid of making it a movement as opposed to a brand. Some of the largest companies on the planet started as a movement. Apple's one. Dale wouldn't know because he is that damn
stupid
green text bubble every time we message him and can't even get a message when we send it through to him. But for the rest of the planet that uses Apple, you know, everyone thinks of them as this huge brand. But in the early days, they were doing things that nobody else was willing to do. They were creating a movement, like they were the upstarts, you know. It was just a different thing. And now, you know, they dominate the planet. And you can, you know, there's a bunch of companies like that that have become the largest thing ever because they were willing to go against the grain.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad. Like, I don't have anti-Apple, but I just watched a great Steve Jobs clip, and he was, early on, he was talking about the product is irrelevant of what we're trying to do here at Apple. It's the people we want using our product.
Mm-hmm.
Like the renegades, the revolutionaries. That's who we want our product in the hands of to make this world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Now,
oh, there it is. The product is irrelevant. It's the people using the product that you're going at. Mm-hmm. I guess perfect summation for what we're talking about is like, let's go after the people who want to change the world and make the world a better place, and you'll get your 30 million.
Yep.
But if you're trying to go after that 30 million right now, you'll never get it because it's just too watered down. Go get the people who will open up whatever the math is going to be, you know, to be the champions for your brand. And to do that, like, you got to be a cause worth following.
That's sage 100%. Advice for someone who uses an Android. Jesus Christ, man. Get with the rest of the planet. Be a revolutionary, Dale. Let's go. Come on.
The Android is the mark of a contrarian.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know. Like, you know, I don't want this to be a huge just, you know, bitch fest about what they're doing over there. I'm just struggling to figure out what they're trying to accomplish. I mean, Keith alluded to it, you know, they laid off somebody else on the media team today who I don't know, Tyson, so I'm not going to try to tell his story here at all.
You should. He's a good dude.
I follow him. I just don't know him, and I've heard that, like, you know, he's got his reputation precedes him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only point I was going to use from that, you know, wasn't about him specifically, but just, you know, I think of all the people that have left with so much history, including you guys. I joked off the air, I'm the only one on the show that hasn't been fired by CrossFit. And and it's interesting to me, as they continue to bring in new people from the outside and all the existing ones are going away proactively on their part, like, you can't replace institutional knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You can't replace it. You can't train it. You just can't. You know, and so that's very intentional. And that's my struggle, is why are you intentionally getting rid of institutional knowledge? And what does that mean for the future? And those are the tea leaves I can't read. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. It's the other thing that's really challenging. And like, I have made all of my peace with my departure. Like, I'm actually in a lot of ways, like, so happy, so happy that I'm here anymore. And I'm so happy that I'm able to do what I'm doing right now. Right. Like, I'm like in a much better place than I was when I was working at HQ. That being said, the thing that rubs a lot of us a really interesting way is like, they currently have 4 jobs posted. Like, Jenna, the new CMO, is out there like, hey, we're hiring 4 new roles. This is awesome.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, what? You're telling me that the people that you're currently letting go have not exhibited the ability to learn new skills that are required to execute whatever it is you have to have them execute? It's just completely bananas to me that they have somebody it's crazy. They're hiring an email marketer right now. They just let go of another email marketer. Like, what are you talking about? You're letting go of the people that are doing the job already that you need to have done. And doing it incredibly well. The thing that frustrated me maybe most about like my own departure is there was never, I was there for a year and a half, never had a single performance review. All of the metrics that I reported on and that our team reported on were only going up. So there's not like, it wasn't like we weren't doing our job or anything. We were like moving every needle that we needed to move was moving in the right direction. So, and like, same is true for everything that Tyson was doing. You know, like views on those videos and sentiment for the brand was moving up and in the right direction. Like, all the things that we were responsible for doing were moving in the right direction. And now they're saying those people aren't right, but we still have the work that needs to get done. So we're going to hire new people to do that work. It's like, there's something really interesting missing somewhere in that equation. And maybe that's part of like the fact that there's something missing in that equation is actually so happy about.
I wonder if it's a cultural thing. Are they trying to build a different culture? You know, like,
I think that 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's wrong or right. And, you know, going back to Tyson, you know, I feel like I need to eulogize him here. He's a near, dear friend of mine. I owe that man a great deal. Great. I owe him. I'll never be able to repay Tyson what. He's the driver from Cross that was responsible for the documentary getting out there. Him being a producer himself, and I knew him when I used to work at CrossFit. I sent him a copy of the rough draft, and he immediately was like, "Dude, this is awesome. I'm with everybody on the leadership team, and we want to do everything."
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked me through by my little hand on like, hey, this is how distribution deals work. This is who you should be looking at. This is everything you need to know. Did all that for free because he's a good dude and he's a great. And he is like, you know, one of, I don't know, 5 or 10 people there who has so much wealth of institutional knowledge of CrossFit, and they let him go. And I'm not saying like, listen, I take it personal because if I called that dude at 3 a.m., he'd be on a flight here to help. And I hope I do the same. But to your earlier question, John, like, hey, I mean, this is just like new coach comes in on a team.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys might try to keep the offensive coordinator. They might try to, but most people over time doesn't care what your reputation, what your status was with that old team, they're going to put their new people in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. Is it better? Is it worse? Well, only time will tell, but let's just call it for what it is. Like,
mm-hmm.
while all the old guys are gone or on their way out, I think what happened, like, I hope, because they're good friends of mine, Nicole, Dave, Chuck, I hope they've got like ironclad contracts are going to keep them there, because those are pillars within that community. And if they, either one, two, or three would all go, either voluntarily or involuntarily, like, that's a huge vulnerability for CrossFit, I think. So I hope those guys are locked in and continue to fight the good fight from within, because there's no one left.
From your lips to God's ears, I fully agree with that. I think, you know, those guys are pillars of the business. I think they learned their lesson with Dave when it happened last time. I could be wrong. Again, I don't know any of the details of that. I just remember people losing their shit and the whole bring back Dave crowd for weeks and months. And, you know, I don't think they want to go through that again. So I will riot if Nicole leaves. Riot. Mostly because whenever we're at an event, she hugs me and I just love her. It's awesome. She's the greatest. She is. She's the greatest person. She's, I don't mean that like in a dirty way. I mean, she's just like the sweetest woman you've ever met. You know,
she is
really kind and generous. Well, speaking of jobs, I want to hear about your new gig, Keith. You're working with Suzo on some stuff, right?
Yeah. There's not a ton to share right now other than he and actually Jay Vera, another really good buddy of mine, who's another former CrossFit HQ guy, another video producer, just unbelievably smart and amazing human. They've been working on Media Launch for a while, and Media Launch was originally kind of designed as a product or service that would that any company could use, right? It was anybody could sign up for an agreement. They would help them create social media ready content through some tools that they've built on the back end, kind of automated in some ways, and just scaling the process to make it easier for companies to create that content. And they were trying to figure out like, hey, where are we going to go from here? They did some like surveying with their audience and surveying with their community. And they realized that they have a huge network in CrossFit affiliate owners and CrossFit community. And they were like, well, shit, maybe we should create a service for CrossFit affiliate owners and for coaches and for people that are in this community, influencers in this space. And so they started trying to figure out how to tailor that message to affiliates and to that broader community. And that also happened at the same time that I was getting ready to start my affiliate, and I'm learning all these amazing things about what it takes
Keith, you're breaking up like crazy, dude. It's a damn Cincinnati Wi-Fi.
You must be giving up secret sauce, man. You're getting stentored.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens.
He's getting... Oh.
Is he back?
People make fun of my hillbilly internet. It ain't just me.
I just imagine your internet comes off of like some antenna on the top of your trailer, and you have to get up there and like kind of tweak it to get it work just right. Put some aluminum foil on the top.
Dude, here's what we do. Me and all my neighbors go get like free trial Wi-Fi, and then we all just keep rotating and sharing the
Billy Joe, it's your week, buddy.
Get that picture and bully. He's gone.
I know, he bailed on. He'll be back. He'll come back in one way or another. I need to get back down to Portsmouth soon, dude. I need a Portsmouth trip. I need a trip to the VFW and shameless, what was that?
Plug, June 8th is our annual summer competition.
Is it?
June 8th. It's already sold out, but the competition is just an opportunity to throw an after party is really how we look at it. But got about 25 four-person teams. The only competition sponsored by Broken Science Initiative.
That's right. I saw that.
there may be special guests coming. I'm not at liberty to discuss, but we might be bringing some special guests to Portsmouth on June 8th.
Well, there's not an airport down there big enough to land in Greg's private jet, so I don't know who's coming. That's all. I guess he could fly to Columbus, you know, maybe.
I can neither confirm nor deny, but there'll be some special visitors here. It'll be a good time. But yeah, you should come down. I mean, if you're between your celebrity tour that you're going on, yeah, we'd love to have you here.
I got a lot of trips coming up, dude. A lot of little celebrity tour action happening. I've got obviously Semis coming up, and where's my going? I'm gonna try to get over to Boston, and maybe the Invitational. Invictus has an Invitational. Plus, it's close to Nikki, so I'd kind of like to go see her baby. That'd be fun.
Where's she out of?
She's in Rhode Island, so she's 30 minutes outside of Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what all do you have going on for the Knoxville?
Just show up and find the best bourbon joint. That's my plan. I mean, you know, it's Tennessee. It's got to have whiskey. Keith's back.
What Maybe. Happened, bro? Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
All right. There we go.
I think you're giving out too many tips. You start getting censored and kicked out.
I love it. Where did I drop off?
I think you're learning all this cool new stuff being an affiliate owner.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of what HQ is for affiliate owners is great on one hand, but there's a lot of stuff missing. And there's a lot of really, really simple stuff that I've learned that affiliate owners could probably be doing more of. And I took some of that information that I had just as a marketer and somehow managed to get CrossFit Fairfield to rank number one for CrossFit near me anywhere within the 20-mile radius of my gym before I opened. So like if somebody wants to find a CrossFit gym near where my gym is at, my gym is the one that shows up. And so just like being really smart about Google reviews, being really smart about YouTube channel, being really smart about like making sure all your social media is up to snuff and you have like really decent content there that tells people what your gym is going to be like. It's not hard stuff. It's very, very simple stuff. But like affiliate owners don't have a ton of time to go do all that learning themselves. So how can we create some tools that'll help them learn that stuff a little bit more effectively and like guide them or shepherd them on the way to getting their gyms to a better spot?
I did a Google review for you. I remember.
You did?
I did. I think I said something like, it was a great intro wad. I don't know why I had to take my shorts off, but Keith insisted on it. I think that's how it went. 5 stars.
It was something like that. It's weird. I got like 4 people that came into the gym asking for the same service. That was bananas.
I was going to say, you too.
Yeah. You're welcome. You are welcome. Oh, no, that's cool, dude. I'm glad you're doing that. You know, I've seen some of the posts that Susan's put out. It looks interesting. And believe me, any help that affiliate owners can get driving their business is a monster help. Because you're right. Like, they don't have a lot of time to get it done. And bluntly, most of them wouldn't even know where to start. Like, you're the rare exception that really understands marketing and, like, how the net works. But I would say the average affiliate owner, like, does it because they love fitness. And they care less about social media. And so that could be a monster help for them.
Yeah. So that's there's a little bit of something, a little bit of plan around there that I think is going to be really fun for us to do. So,
all right.
Keith, can I put you on the spot for a second?
100%.
As a brand new affiliate owner.
Yeah.
What are one or two things you think you've done well? And then one or two things you think you should have done better?
Yeah. Done really well, I think, is establishing clear roles and responsibilities with the coaches that I've hired. I made it very clear out of the gate that like the coach has to show up and has to do a really good job coaching. I've seen a lot of gyms in the time that I've been dropping into a lot of gyms and doing this thing for as long as I've done it, where there's like kind of an absent-minded coach, or you don't really know who the coach is, or sometimes the coach is working out with the class, or sometimes they're like being really clear about like, this is how we run the class is something that I was like, I wanted I wanted our gym to do CrossFit. So I set it up to make sure that that was the case. So that's one thing that I think I've done really well. It's actually, in some ways, a thing that I don't know if I would have been able to do if I still hit my job at HQ. Because I wouldn't have had the time. For the first full month, every single class I either took or co-coached with the coaches that were coming on board. And so I was able to, after every single class, 15-minute debrief, what went well, what didn't, what do we need to be more focused on? I think I've done that really well. And I think our members are getting a huge benefit from that. Some of the things I have not done well, we haven't done a nutrition program yet. I think that's a huge miss. We don't talk about it enough. That's one thing. And then as much as I am a business person, having an MBA, I'm one of those dirty MBA people. And as much as I have been adamant about the fact that CrossFit gyms can be businesses, we've been super loose. super. And like, some of that is a blessing of like having enough revenue coming in that I'm not like pinching pennies at the end of the day. Like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to make rent. Mm-hmm. But there's like, we're not as buttoned up as we should be. And I need to spend a little bit of time getting buttoned up so that, you know, at a certain point, this does fully run itself and anybody can come in and know exactly how things operate. Yeah.
It's great, man. I just think it's so important for people listening. They don't get to hear that enough.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Other people can listen, like, you know, the other owners should be able to learn from it as well.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear. I always enjoy hearing it from new guys because it helped trigger some things in my mind and what I should be doing better and things like that.
Yeah. The other thing that I think I've done a pretty good job of, and in all of my coaches will laugh when they hear this, and I think all my members will laugh when I hear this too. Our gym is neat. Very neat. It's very clean. And when we put dumbbells away, like dumbbells, numbers facing out, numbers up. Like when the wall balls go away, laces up, numbers up. Like I'm like a nutcase about things. I drew like little runways for all the rowers, and there's like everything has its place. Cause I mean, you've both been in the gym. It's small. Like,
yeah.
We get a class of 15 people in there. Things aren't put away. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, that's one of the other things that we've done really good. And like, we've established that as like the culture, and like the kids' classes are the best because the kids are like really good at calling each other out. Somebody puts a dumbbell way wrong, or somebody doesn't put the barbell back in the right, like right holder. They're like, whoa, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, that's another thing that I've done a pretty good job of, I think.
It's awesome.
100% when I drop in your gym, I'm fucking around with those dumbbells. Guaranteed.
You know what's funny is it was right before April Fool's Day. No, it wasn't. It was before St. Patrick's Day. All the coaches were like, they were like doing this side like thing. They were going to like put green handprints all over everything and like turn the dumbbells upside down. And but the day before that, I sent out a video because some of the dumbbells weren't in the right place. I just sent to we have a group chat, and I just sent it out to the team. Like, hey guys, just as a quick reminder, like, let's just make sure things get put away the way they're supposed to get put away. I want to make sure everything's clean for the members or whatever. And so they didn't tell me until a week later, like, oh man, we were going to like totally destroy the gym and put green paint everywhere. And they're like, we realized that probably wasn't a good time. So it's good stuff like that. So yeah, when you come in, people will get a kick out of it. And a couple people have like done some things. One of my coaches last week actually left all the wall balls the complete opposite direction on purpose. So we get to play around with that. It's also fun.
Hey, I think it's great for the members. I think that, you know, CrossFit gives you enough anxiety as it is coming in as a member, you know, like you're stressed out about, you know, whatever. And to not have to stress about where things are, whether it will be clean, is a real benefit for members. It really is. Mm-hmm. Like I used to be a member at CrossFit Mentality, which is Panchik's gym up in Mentor. Literally, you could eat on the floors any day of the week. Like that is the most spotless gym I've ever set foot in. And like every piece of gear perfectly placed. As long as I live, I will never forget. I was my first week there, and he had some ridiculous workout program because all his shit's hard. And we're doing wall balls, and I'm dying because I'm old. And so I drop the wall ball and I turn around and I sit on it and he loses his mind. Oh my God. If you haven't lived until Scott Panchak yells at you, the nicest dude, when the nicest dude on the planet yells at you, you know, you have fucked up. And I was mortified, totally like right in the middle of the class, just mortified. But he was right. Like, you don't sit on a wall ball. It warps it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how he is about his equipment. And because of that, members don't show up late. They mm-hmm. clean up after each other. They support each other. They hang out until the last person's done. Like, all those things that, you know, we love about kind of that OG culture are ingrained there because of that. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool thing, you know? So keep it going. I'm proud of you, dude. I think that's a great way to start and a great message. And your gym's gorgeous. Like, it's visually gorgeous. So
thank you.
It's cool stuff.
Except for the giant hole in the wall right now. Somebody dropped a barbell with a 10-pound plate on it. Right through this, just right through the side of the wall.
Obviously in the drywall, right?
Like, oh yes. Yeah. Right through the drywall. I mean, it's like literally a perfect circle. It actually happened on Monday. And it's so funny because I walked in right after the class was over. And they were all kind of sitting there. They were going to work out. And I look over and I was like, somebody dropped a barbell with tens on it. And one of my coaches, a really good buddy of mine, was like, I did it. It was me. And I'm looking at him. I don't think he's ever in his entire life loaded a barbell with 10-pound plates on it. Like, he's a monster. And I just looked at him and I was like, okay, you're taking the fall. I get it. It was good.
That's a rough moment for somebody though, for sure.
Yeah, but it's fun. It was like, it's an easy thing to fix. Drywall's easy to patch.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as we wrap up, let's shout out your gym so people can find them. Keith, we'll start with you. CrossFit Fairfield. Give the details to people. Yeah, how they find you. Yeah. Where are you?
Instagram's the easiest place. Instagram or Facebook at CrossFit Fairfield. You can always hit me up. My handle there is Keith E. Knapp. Direct message on either one of those platforms is the easy way to get a hold of us.
Love it. Down in the kind of the North Cincinnati area, right? You'd be just north. Yeah,
Fairfield,
right?
Yep. Just north of Cincinnati. Yeah. About 25-minute outside of downtown Cincinnati.
Dale, shout it out, man. Portsmouth, Ohio, baby.
Nestled in the beautiful Appalachian region of Southern Ohio is a small jewel. Changed life. And thousands more to come. Goes by the name of PSKC CrossFit. You can find us at pskcstrong.com. If you want to talk shit to me, just DM me on Instagram at 740.
Hey, those are two really cool affiliates. For anyone listening, you guys find yourself in Ohio, and particularly if you're in Southern Ohio. Now, your gyms aren't super close to each other, but they are drivable. Like, it's, you know, just a few hours. And
weekend,
I would highly
road trip.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, there's so many great affiliates in Ohio. Ohio is blessed for tons of great affiliates, but your two affiliates are terrific. And if you guys get a chance to find yourself in Southern Ohio, drop in because it's super fun. Just don't drop the barbell with a 10-pound plate or Keith will lose his shit. So, all right. Well, appreciate you guys joining tonight and shooting the shit with me and missing Nikki, but you guys were a very poor substitute. So thank you for that.
Thinking
about having acid. Yeah, it's way past your bedtime and my bedtime. Keith's the only one that stays up late.
Well, we got class at 5:30. I'm up early. I got to get rolling too.
Yeah, drink my glass of Metamucil. I'm going to bed.
All right, we'll let you guys have a bed. For everyone listening, appreciate you guys joining this week, and we will chat with you guys soon.
Thanks, guys.